Well, welcome everyone, both here and online, and want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day and a blessing to all the women present as well. And you know, over the centuries, mothers have given their children plenty of good advice. And here are some examples. Columbus's mother: "I don't care what you've discovered, Columbus, you could have written." How many times have I heard that? Michelangelo's mother: "Mike, can't you paint on the walls like other children? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get the ceilings clean?" Napoleon's mother: "All right, Napoleon, if you aren't hiding your report card inside your jacket, then take your hand out of there and prove it." Goldilocks' mother: "I've got a bill here for a broken chair from the Bear family. Do you know anything about this, Goldie?" Einstein's mother: "But Albert, it's your senior picture. Can't you do something about your hair? Styling gel, mousse, something?" Thomas Edison's mother: "Of course I'm proud that you invented the electric light bulb, Thomas. Now turn off that light and go to bed." And finally, Humpty Dumpty's mother: "Humpty, if I've told you once, I've told you 100 times not to sit on that wall. Did you listen to me?" "Of course not." Yes, I love those. Well, you know what? This is the day that we remember our mothers and women in our life and the blessing that they are to us in so many different ways. And one of the things that we can celebrate today is that moms, I believe, try to nurture the sense of a home, the sense of a place of caring, a place of love, and a place of warmth. And the reality is, like all of us, there are some ways in which that's achieved in the home and some ways in which it's not. But I think ultimately all human beings have a sense that home is supposed to be someplace special. It's ideally supposed to be a place that you can come to and relax, and on some level be yourself, and that's welcomed most of the time. And I think the reason why that's true is because as we read in our scriptures today, there's a very real way in which God has planted in the human heart the idea of home. We read this today in the lesson for 1 Peter. We hear it today in the Gospel of John. We hear Jesus saying to the disciples that I'm going to prepare a place for you. Do you realize that there is a place for you in heaven? You're going to have a very special room there, a very special place that's unique for you. I believe it's going to be a place that is full of memories in terms of your life on earth, all of your experiences, relationships. And also will be filled with eternal memories that you will make with the kingdom in heaven in very special and powerful ways. And so Jesus shares this word with his disciples as a word of comfort. He lets them know that as he is leaving, one of the reasons why he's leaving is not only is he ascending into heaven so that the Holy Spirit can come and begin the ministry with the church of the church age, but he's also going to prepare a place for you and for me, a place called home. And so that when that time comes for us, when we pass on, we are passing on to our heavenly home. It's not some black hole. It's not some benign force. It's not some indefinite matter that doesn't really mean anything. But we're going home in the most fullest sense of the word. We're going home to the Lord. We're going home to loved ones that have gone before us that'll be in heaven ready to greet us in very powerful and incredible ways. We're going home to see friends that are there, and there will be some people there that you didn't expect to make it that'll be there as well, by the way. And they'll be just as surprised that you're there as you are that they're there. God, that'll be an amazing time. You know, in 1 Peter we read today that God is actually building us a spiritual home, even in this present moment. You know, look at these words from 1 Peter. they're so encouraging about this reality, about Jesus being the cornerstone of this house and a living stone, one chosen by the Father, rejected by many. But even though people reject Jesus, you know, the most important thing to remember is that the Father has chosen him. And so there can be all kinds of people that reject him. They can say, you know what, he's not my Lord. He's not my Savior. I'm not going to follow him. I don't believe that he's the Father incarnate. I don't believe that he's the Messiah or the risen one. But the reality is the most important stamp of approval comes from the Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father says, this is my cornerstone. This is my son. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior of the world. And my seal of approval is on him. I approve this message, right? We're going to be hearing a lot of that in the coming months. And so the Father says about Jesus, he is the cornerstone of the spiritual house that I'm building. There is no other cornerstone other than Jesus. And so, you know, it's interesting about this stone. The stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner. A stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do, but you are a chosen race. So, you know, the reality is some will not follow the Lord. They will not allow him to be their cornerstone, but there are others like us who will. And for those who, for whom Jesus is the cornerstone, we are living stones. Again, this beautiful metaphor that Peter's sharing with us. We are living stones that are being built into a spiritual house. You know, each one of you is a unique stone, very unique and different. If you go down on some of the beaches around here, whenever they open again, you'll find rocks. And no two rocks are alike. Each one is different and unique. And that's an image for you and me. Each one of us are a unique living stone. And it says that these living stones are being built together by the Lord. You know, the Lord is fashioning together this spiritual house that is his, and it's the kingdom of God. All of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to walk upon this earth are part of that spiritual house. They're part of those spiritual living stones that God is using to fashion this very special spiritual house. And we're being built together. We are living. We're spiritual, we're holy. It talks about this being, that we have a priesthood that we share, a chosen race, a holy nation, and that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I just want to reflect on that one phrase with you for just a moment. Isn't his light marvelous? Isn't his light wonderful? Isn't his light beautiful? And all of us have experienced that to different degrees. I was just talking with a woman yesterday out on the patio off Sugden. And she shared with me the most incredible vision that she had when she came to the Lord. She had an experience of angels. She had an experience of the Lord's presence and being filled with the Spirit. And she said she had such a pure peace and love in her heart that she actually felt that for 3 months. It was the most amazing experience that she's ever had in her life. And when she shared this experience with me, first of all, I said, boy, I wish I would have had that experience. And the other thing I said to myself was, how amazing is this? She, and we both agreed on this, she had an experience of heaven. I mean, she saw the angels. She said she heard foghorns. And I said, did it sound like the shofar? You know, the shofar is what they blow when they worship the Lord. And as soon as I said that, she got red. She just like immediately got really excited. And she hadn't realized until that moment yesterday that those were the angels blowing the shofar, worshiping God in the heavens. And she finally had a realization in that moment, again, of what was happening in that vision. She was caught up into heaven. Now, some of you who are hearing this today is, you might say, well, Father Joe, I just don't believe that. And that's okay. But I just want to say to you, I believe it. I saw what this woman was describing to me. It was the most incredible experience. And so, you know, this is what the Lord's marvelous light is like for you and me. And as we worship him during this service, as his living people, that are being built into a spiritual house. Even in this moment that we're sharing together here and on the web, God is building his spiritual house. God is building us together. We may still be coming out of lockdown, but God was never locked down. God's spirit was never inhibited. In fact, during these past weeks, God has been doing one of the most tremendous works in my life and your life. I'm looking forward to it being over. Yes, I am. But he's been doing the most incredible work in the death of our spirit, I believe, preparing us for even greater things. And he's been deepening in my heart, and I know in the hearts of many others, how precious he is, how important he is. And again, I've just been listening to people. A lot of people actually are really looking forward to coming to church again, which is great. We'll be together one day. So, you know, the Lord's light is marvelous. The Lord's light is wonderful. The Lord's light through you and me and through his spiritual house is redeeming and life transforming. It is to be tastes of heaven that we never forget and that change us in very powerful ways. And one of the things that we need to remember is that as his house, and again, that's what I want to let you know, you are part of a home. You belong to someone. You are part of the Lord's house. And that is why when you start going off into darkness and maybe start doing some things you shouldn't do, the Holy Spirit's right on you and saying, you know what, you really shouldn't be doing this. And the reason why the Holy Spirit's doing that is the Holy Spirit's kind of like acting like a mother hen at that point. Kind of like acting like somebody who wants to nurture you and care for you in the right direction for your life. Wants to point you in the right way and let you know what? You're supposed to be about the things of light, the kingdom of light, dwelling in the marvelous light of the Lord. Don't go into darkness. Stay out of there. Stay with the light. Stay with us. And so that's what happens in your life and my life. Thank the Lord. God's people called into his marvelous light. And I just want to be an encouragement to you. Share this light with others, especially right now. So there are some people that are really alone. They're just dying to talk to somebody. They'll even talk to you. They'll even talk to me. They might even be willing to hear about Jesus right now. This might be your moment. In fact, I would bet it really is your moment. Because what God wants to do with our spiritual house is, again, bring about a spiritual transformation in the lives of people that are around us in very powerful and life-transforming ways. Now is the time in our life where we need to come into a place of no longer being ashamed of Jesus. No longer keeping him private. No longer leaving this place and then just going on about our life like this never happened. But this is the time we need to enter more fully into being the living, spiritual, transformed beings that God has empowered us to be. And gladly and lovingly and joyfully, with smiles on our faces and with worship in our heart, share the person of Jesus with everybody that we meet, and invite them into the kingdom. This is the ministry of nurturing. This is the ministry of a mother and a woman fostering the sense of home, fostering the sense of belonging, fostering the sense of how important caring and love and worship and unity in the Spirit is in this moment and in the days to come. In closing, John Killinger shares in his book, Lost in Wonder, Love and Praise, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born of the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son that caused her to follow him in his ministry and stand by his cross as he died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children that they bear. It is stronger than steel and softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a dark reflection of all that we can expect of Him, both in this life and the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greatest love flow through her to her children, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. Amen.